Good morning, Tony. Really nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's been a bit soggy.
Oh, tell me about it.
And a bit cold.
I've just come back from holiday, but it's nice to come back, and I do like walking in sunny weather, crispy leaves underneath your feet. And it's quite sort of stirring, really, isn't it? Mm. You can march along, and the kids love it, don't they? Absolutely.
Well, plenty of leaves, and of course, the thing with those is they can be a good thing and they can be a menace as well, because they're quite slippery.
They are.
They're also good mulch for the garden, but you do need to be quite careful as to where you leave them, I presume.
Yes, and also if you're raking up, one of the essential things is if they've sort of... One of my bugbears is these blooming leaf blowers, which drive me insane, to be quite honest.
No, I've got one, sorry.
Yeah, but it's all right when they're on the road and they move it from the pavement onto the road, and residents do it, down at my daughter's, they push it onto the road, the wind blows it all back, so what's the point? But if you're blowing them, blow them into a pile and pick them up, or blow them on underneath a hedge or something like that, and then they rot down and they're good for the garden as well.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Is the rotting down, is what to do with them, where to put them, sensible use. As I say, just blowing them into the road is not quite the answer, is it?
No, it isn't, no. I mean, a couple of years ago, there was a big push on putting them into black polythene bags and letting them, you know, mould down during the winter. But unless you put them in a sensible place and you put some air into the black plastic bags, you're on a hiding to nothing, because they just go mushy and horrible, and they smell. So.
And then you open the bag and you wish you hadn't.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But there we are. And sometimes, particularly oak and beech, they take about 2 years to rot down, you know. So you're far better off just popping them into a compost bin or something like that.
It's part of this, part of the general thing of clearing up in the garden. Now, it can be one of two things, can't it? It can be waterlogged, soggy ground, or it can be rock hard ground, depending upon what the temperature's like.
Yeah, but as I say, if it's soggy and horrible, then don't go wandering all over your grass. And in a minute, I'm going to say, you know, now's the time to sort of get rid of the thatch on the grass. But don't do it until the ground is, you're able to walk on the ground without making a mark. It's not sensible, actually. My feeling is that I would leave that job until early in the spring, when the ground has actually warmed up slightly.
Yeah. But, question for you on all of this, because we are talking about clearing up in the winter garden. It's all happened a bit late this year, hasn't it? Because we've had some ridiculously high temperatures at the beginning of November. Mm. We're all going, when's it all going to change? Does it make a difference to what actually happens in the garden? Does that all sort of move back with the weather, or has it happened at the normal time?
You're absolutely right there, because it's quite interesting, because we do need the frost and the snow, not particularly deep snow, but we do need the ground for the plants. Some plants, particularly strawberries, for instance, that's the main one, they actually love a period of cold, and that stimulates their fruit buds for next year. The same with fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
So they need that period of cold. So when people say, well, you know, it would be much better to, you know, just have summer all the time, not such a good idea.
We do need a break from the sunshine from time to time. And, of course, it's almost like the cleansing season, isn't it?
I think so, but I don't think we need to be too clean. You do need to be a little bit careful clearing up, you know, the dead leaves and things like that, because you may find that there's a hedgehog hibernating underneath there. And, of course, the bugs and beasties, I know it, they're slugs, but sometimes there are good slugs and bad slugs, and we won't go into that at the moment. I hope. I don't want
to. No, I'm not going to be talking slugs or anything like that at all at the moment. But I'm guessing the idea of the winter months and the colder weather is to actually do a little bit of a clean-up of the garden, but without necessarily making it all pristine.
Exactly. I think that's absolutely right. One thing you should do, if there's anything there that didn't work last year, for instance, dig up dead plants, because they could potentially they could harbour disease,
yeah.
which could in actual fact affect other plants. And drainage, if you need to think about the drainage, if you've got a waterlogged lawn, why is it waterlogged? So have a think about it. And now is the time to go and have a look at those seed catalogues ready for next year. I'm a great believer in seed catalogues. I love them.
Yeah, you and your seed catalogues. I mean, there are things that actually grow in the winter, aren't there?
Yes, there are things that grow in the winter. But I've put my garlic in.
Yeah.
But I grow the garlic in pots and then transfer them. So that, to me, is the easiest way, because I grow at home and then move on to the allotment. But yeah. Don't forget, now is the time to harvest your veg, particularly swede, parsnips, carrots, whatever you've got.
Mm.
And then as the beds become bare, either lightly turn over the soil, because, of course, we're all onto non-dig methods now, and then a thick, thick layer of well-rotted manure or compost over it.
Mm.
When I say compost, I'm not meaning peat-free compost. I'm meaning, the ones that you can buy from the garden centre or your own compost that you've made.
Yeah.
So if the winter digging or tickling over the soil, if you're not going to winter dig, the only reason I winter dig is to get rid of dandelions and any sort of real hard perennial weeds. So then what happens is that the mulch will actually go down into the ground in the spring, and it'll protect those plants, particularly anybody with anything with a crown,
yeah,
like hellebores or something mm-hmm. like that. So mulch around the outside of them, not over the top of them particularly, but around the outside, just to give them that little bit of protection.
Yeah, there's plenty to do then, is what you're saying, but don't overdo it.
No, yeah. Absolutely right.
Yeah, so we've already done the garlic thing. Ours went in a couple of months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, actually. It takes about 9 months, doesn't it? They'll come up in about June. And that we keep ours, funny enough, we've got these raised beds, the old railway sleepers and that. We've got one box full of this stuff with, it's like a tunnel over the top, just to protect it. And so when the weather warms up a little bit, we'll take that tunnel off, and you'll have these wonderfully sprouting garlics that are just waiting to do the finishing touches.
Yeah. And the other thing, Tony, is it blocked off at both ends as well, your tunnel?
Yes.
Right. Just occasionally, if the sun comes out like it is today, just let a bit of fresh air in there. It's really a good idea.
Yes, a netting sort of tunnel rather than a plastic tunnel, so it breathes through the...
That's good.
Through the stuff.
All plants, as you know, anyway, need some more protection in the winter, even if they're pretty hardy. So you can move some, if you can, into a sheltered spot. It's a bit late now after we've had all these good frosts. You can use, as you're doing, cloches or wraps or insulation. In my greenhouse, I've got bubble wrap around the greenhouse itself. And then
you bubble wrap your greenhouse?
Yes.
It's great fun for somebody that wants to come along and pop those bubbles, isn't it? Sorry.
Well, if you've got grandchildren, don't let them in there.
I think that's the thing.
Yeah. But then over the top, because I've got a couple of really delicate plants in there, but my greenhouse isn't heated. And so over the top, I've got a double layer of fleece. But what I do is, on a hot, sunny day like this, the temperature in there rises phenomenally.
Mm.
And so I open the door.
Yeah.
So, and I've actually got self-openers, and I'm just going to look out the window in a minute.
Mm.
And yes, you see the opening is there now, because the sun is directly on the greenhouse, and so the self-openers have actually opened a fraction. So that's good.
This is a one gardener's posh greenhouse, I think is what that is.
No, it's not. It's a little 6x8. Wooden one.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I'm sure it does the job anyway, and it keeps things warm, because there are things to actually, seed at the moment, aren't there, to germinate and keep them away from the cold and the frost, and getting them planted sort of early in the new year.
Yeah, I mean, sweet peas is the prime example.
Mm.
Absolutely. You can plant your sweet peas now. I like to plant them in tubes because they like the length. So either you get a long 7 centimetre pot, or you could in actual fact use inside of toilet rolls. Those work really, really well. Inside of, you know, kitchen rolls cut in half. They really are excellent, and we're all into recycling and everything, and I think that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things with the garden. It's actually relatively simple to actually run your garden fairly green, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely right.
It's the right environment, isn't it?
Yes, my water tubs need a bit of attention next year, I think. It's been 2 years since I cleaned them out, and they do actually, because they have breathing holes at the top, then the detritus off the roof comes down there and sometimes blocks up the tap at the bottom. So next year, that's my big job.
Mm. Question for you on your greenhouse. I mean, Anna, this is slightly off of what, what we would normally talk about. You've got your greenhouse there. You have a blighted by rodents in there.
Funnily enough, yes. It does come, it's dug underneath the concrete base.
Mm.
I know where it's coming from, next door. Because next door, don't forget I back onto a railway as well. So that's not easy. But next door have had building works done.
Yeah.
And everything from their garage is stuck out in their garden.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the rats are. I'm sure of it.
How do you deal with them?
I have a rat man who comes round occasionally. But I block up the hole as much as I can, but they get through everything.
Yeah.
Certain things... Everybody says you can grow certain plants which do them, you know, they don't like.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But I'd prefer just occasionally putting, a fairly hefty duty rat killer down.
There are some things these days that you can get. We've actually got something really which are, they're repellents rather than something to kill them off. Because I think as a species we've done too much killing off of all sorts of things, which affects quite the environment and how the whole thing works. Yeah. So really, not killing the rats, but actually. Trying to encourage them to go elsewhere.
Shooing them away, I think.
Yes.
It's the same as this morning I went out through the front door and found somebody's cat had left two very nice squashy parcels.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, which very is quite nice. So this afternoon I'm going to go down and get one of those electronic pinger things.
Yeah.
Which I think is the nicer way of doing it, isn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's all part of the thing with wildlife. You mentioned hedgehogs sleeping in your garden. Of course, it used to be a very common thing to see, one or two hedgehogs in your garden. It's a rare thing these days because they're actually, I hear they're somewhere near to extinction.
Well, they're endangered now, definitely.
Yeah.
Because people, two things... They drive too fast. And there was a lovely programme I was listening to yesterday, and the lady said, hedgehogs are not very bright, and this made me smile. And she said, if they're crossing the road and they see a light coming towards them in the headlights of a car, they don't run away, they roll into a ball.
Yeah, that's the way of protecting themselves, but of course it doesn't fit the modern world, does it?
No. So I thought that was explained quite nicely, actually.
Yeah.
I think we all drive too fast anyway, to be quite honest.
To be honest, if you're driving a car and you're not going to see a hedgehog too quickly or too easily at night. It's, whether you're driving fast or not, it's not going to be.
No.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the overuse of pesticides and things that have... cause the issues.
I think a lot of it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure that cars are actually the bulk of the problem there. But
This was actually a recording from, who's the woman that did the,
Yes.
And she was talking about the same thing, and she said in the 70s she wrote a very sort of tongue-in-cheek thing about hedgehogs, which she said she couldn't actually do now. It's funny. but it's not politically correct.
Yeah, yeah, that's a whole different story, isn't it?
Is
really,
it just yeah.
But no, it applies not just to hedgehogs, but all of wildlife. You know, we don't see the bugs we used to see.
Nope.
There are all sorts of issues that are going on, and it's hard to know quite A, what's caused it, and B, what to actually do to encourage them back. To encourage them to breed more.
Well, I do think, you know, putting good flowers into your garden, and that means having open flowers rather than great big tight double ones, if you can. Like marigolds.
Yeah.
Don't get rid of your dandelions first thing in the spring, because, you know, dandelions are the first food source that you can get for all sorts of pollinating insects, actually.
Mm.
And the other thing too is, as I say, it's try to get a little patch in your garden where you can just have a little bit of wildlife, you know, wild flowers, or even a dish or something. I don't know whether anybody's feeding the birds at the moment, but I like the suet balls, which brings in all the sparrows and blue tits galore there, and it's wonderful to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with all of this is, of course, if we can encourage the bugs back, it does improve the quality of the soil.
Exactly, absolutely right. I'll talk one day about worms for you.
Oh, lovely.
No. It's an interesting thing about worms, actually.
Oh, but I'm sure it is.
But, you know, we need a little bit longer. We'll talk worms one day, Tony.
I think we will do. So we've cleared up the garden. We've looked at most of the other bits and pieces, I think, really. The temperatures are going to be all over the place, I think, for the while. Anything else we need to be doing this time as we head towards, well, the busiest month of the year regarding things like Christmas?
I am not an artificial Christmas tree person.
Yeah.
I really like the proper ones. But again, don't bring them into the house too quickly.
Yeah.
Because if you do, then stick them into some water in there, even if they're sawn off at the bottom. Get one of these, you can get a container which you fill up with water, and that plant will actually take up the water from that. And not to a huge extent, but enough to keep its leaves on right through to...
Well, it's the pine needles, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I like the smell of a good Christmas tree, but my house is too small, unfortunately, to get
You can get
one
a
here.
Small tree, can't you?
Yeah, it's not the same, though.
No, okay. So I was going to say, you quite like the idea of pine needles, but not dog hair. Well, you know, that's how you, I suppose, you're going to get one or the other, or maybe both of them. So, I mean, there are people that actually keep a Christmas tree and put it back in the ground in January.
Absolutely.
And then I mean, I don't know anybody that does, but I know there are such people existing.
Well, we have, where I live, we've got 11 acres of conservation woodland.
Mm.
And some years ago, illegally, somebody planted this enormously foreign Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's now about 40 foot tall. But
that's a big satellite.
It doesn't worry me for the simple reason that certain bugs go to conifers.
Yeah,
And so I'm quite pleased, actually, it's there. The conservation guy isn't very happy about it, but he won't do anything about it. So that's another thing. But where we live also, we've got a 300-year-old oak tree.
Yes.
Which very sadly has died.
Oh, dear.
It's been on its last legs for several years, but this year... virtually no leaves at all.
Oh, dear.
And so the council wanted to take it down. And
mm-hmm.
we've been fighting that, and we've got our way, thank goodness, because a dying tree will actually release more carbon than than taking it out. So also, it's a habitat place for bats, birds, insects, squirrels, you name it. They're all in that tree.
Lots of things.
Taking it down would be absolutely wrong. So they're just going to lightly trim any overhanging branches. And it's in the middle of a field anyway, so it doesn't matter. So that's what they're going to do. They fenced it all around so people, for safety's sake, so that nobody can, the kids can't go and climb on it in case there's an accident. But other than that, it's sitting there, and it's actually quite sort of striking when you come in, because particularly early in the morning or later, it's sort of dusk, and the light is coming down behind it, and there's all these dark black branches, and I find it quite sort of eerie.
Well, there you go. You see, we now know what to do with a dead tree. In most cases, leave them where they are. They have a purpose and
they
stuff.
Do.
Jean, we're out of time, believe it or not.
Oh, well, we always go out of time.
Just
don't
got
we?
Started, and there we go. 21 minutes later, or 20 minutes later, we're out of time. Been good to catch up today, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you one more time before the big day for looking at what we can do in the new year. Is that all right?
Perhaps presents for Christmas or something like
there
that.
There you go. Yeah, presents for your garden for Christmas. Jean Griffin, for now, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony.